Well, we've got Kumail Bell on. He's on the road right now. He's going to be here later today, but he currently is trapped in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I think he just managed to escape Iowa. Is that pretty accurate, Kumail?
Yes.
Yes.
That sounds almost like my name, yes.
Yes. Make it easy on someone. Spell it the way it's pronounced.
Whatever you need. Okay, then call me Mike.
Okay.
It's Kumail.
Kumail.
Like Kumail.
Okay. So the W must have been, is the first actual name, like, really bad, like Wilbur or something like that?
It's Walter, which is close to
the worst. Oh, Walter. Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm calling you, man. That I can do, Walter.
Oh, yeah. No, yes, it's good to have a name that black people can do and a name that white people can do.
So how's the tour going so far?
It's going great. I've been in Iowa City last night, in St. Paul, Minnesota. I've been in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Do you specialize your jokes and routines and stuff? Like, if you're in Minnesota, have you got, like, Minnesota jokes that you use?
Well, because I talk about race a lot and racism a lot in my act, whenever I get to a city, the first thing I do is Google the name of that city plus the word racism just to see what I'm in for.
How'd that work out in Minnesota then?
There, I basically stayed in my hotel because they've had some issues.
And you're coming to Wisconsin. What'd you find there?
I'll do it on my way there. So as we drive into town, I'll pull it up, and if it's too bad, we'll just keep driving.
Okay, keep driving, keep going on. And so, and of course, you'll be at the High Noon tonight in Madison, and Sunday you'll be at Shank Hall in Milwaukee. So a lot coming up here. And are you hitting the Denzel Washington, the greatest actor of all time, pretty hard on the tour?
No, that's just my podcast that we just started.
I know.
Me and my friend Kevin just realized that not enough people realize that Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period.
Yeah.
So we decided to name our podcast, Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period.
Yeah. I just saw Glory again, actually. He was great in that. But, you know, the problem with that movie is Matthew Broderick. Don't you think?
Why do you hate him, Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, Ferris Bueller commanding the troops in the Civil War. I mean, that's what you want to see.
Well, they did lose the battle, so, you know, clearly he didn't do a great job.
I know, but, you know, that was a mistake. And isn't that sort of the problem? He takes over all the movies that he's in, right? Just his presence alone. So he doesn't really have to. I mean, if you're up against Matthew Broderick.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Matthew Broderick takes over the movies.
No. Denzel.
I don't recognize that. Ferris Bueller was the last time he took over a movie.
Yeah. Right. That was the last good movie, too. If you took that one over, but the rest is something.
Man, I never thought I'd call into this show and start hating on Matthew Broderick. This is really going a different direction.
Yeah, no, I don't hate him. I'm just saying, like, in Glory in particular, because Denzel is in there.
He takes over movies because, you know, as I said, greatest actor of all time, period.
Yeah. Although he's been
he does that cool thing in Glory where he does the one tier. We call it the Glory tier.
Yeah.
That many actors cannot pull off.
What is it?
Well, there's a scene in the movie where he's crying, but he's able to cry only out of one eye at a time. Which, as we all know, is kind of amazing.
It's impossible, as we all know. So
that's why they gave him the Academy Award for that movie, just because, like, how did he cry out of one eye at one time?
Yeah. Although, you know, the Manchurian Candidate, that was, first of all, they shouldn't have remade that movie. Don't you agree? I mean, it was a perfect movie when they made it, right? Don't you think?
I actually haven't seen the original.
Oh.
I was a little bit young for that, and I wasn't born yet.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But I mean, I will check it out. I will check it out, and I'll compare, and I'll get back to you.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll help you out here a little bit, so you don't have to watch it.
I know it's Frank Sinatra, and I know.
Yes,
are you one of those people who thinks Frank Sinatra can't do anything wrong?
No, I've never said that. He can do a lot of things wrong, but you know, he's playing the Frank Sinatra part in this movie, and that's very difficult to duplicate.
Yeah, but that he took on that challenge. How many actors want to play the Frank Sinatra part in a movie?
That's true.
It's a big challenge.
That's a good point. So I thought he was good in that. And then Mo Better Blues and like that. But and I thought he was great in Saint Elsewhere.
Yes, exactly.
He ruled.
I've already convinced you. You don't even need to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. But I think Don Cheadle might be the greatest actor of all time, personally.
I mean, Don Cheadle's good. I'm not trying to hate on Don Cheadle. I'll hate on Matthew Broderick, but I'm not going to hate on Don Cheadle.
Because he was in that movie with him. Which one was that? The
Devil in a Blue Dress.
Was it?
Yes, that's a classic. That's a, we talked about it on the podcast. That's considered to be, there's certain movies that are called Black People Homework, where as a black person you have to see them, or else you're going to, you know, go to the family reunion and they'd be like, you didn't see Devil in the Blue Dress? Put the potato salad down and get the heck out of here.
Yeah, or run out and rent the movie and bring it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, does that actually happen? I wonder.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Remember the Titans? That's hard to, you know.
Yeah, and he's done. Yeah, he's done several careers worth of great films. But I just feel like me and my friend Kevin felt like he hadn't gotten the accolades. So we're like, people just need to know. So every week we prove it by reviewing one of his movies in alphabetical order.
But who was the white coach in that?
The white coach in that? I don't remember who that was. Who was it?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Anybody know here? Remember the Titans? Remembering the Titans? White coach. Okay, so no one remembers him even because Denzel Washington was in that movie. They can't remember the guy who played the white coach.
Well, it's called Remember the Titans, not Remember the Angry White Coach.
Remember the Angry White Coach. With the greatest scene of all time, the banana scene was in that movie. Do you remember that?
Wow, you just prepared for this by watching all the Denzel Washington movies?
I did because I thought it was going to be like a big thing we could talk about. And
oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Is this like a hard period of time to make, especially since you deal with race? As in humor and race, and it's hard to be sort of humorous about race currently in America, don't you think?
No, I mean, I think it's like if race and racism was a stock, it's at an all-time high. I would invest.
Really?
Yeah, it's just there's a lot going on in this country, and certainly some of it is hard to deal with, but some of it is I think making people laugh about it is what makes it easier to deal with and easier to talk about.
Yeah. And your audiences agree?
You know, there's mixed results.
Well, I get those. I know what that's all about.
Well, that's why I like to have audiences that are mixed across all sort of racial lines, because then you get people. Some people are like, "I can't believe you said that," and some people are like, "Thank God somebody finally said that."
Yeah. And do you do a lot of the family humor? Because I know you just had a baby girl, right?
Yeah, I got a. Yeah. I had a. My daughter just turned a month old today.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah, she's back home in Berkeley, California, where I live, and I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota, which makes me a bad father.
Yeah, I know that feeling, too.
Yeah.
When I would go on, when my girls, I had two girls, when they were little, I would, before I left anywhere, I would take a picture, like a selfie of us, you know, just in case something happened to me on the plane or something. So they'd have this image of their father. So it's a bad feeling in the beginning.
It is a bad feeling. Sometimes I take it out on crowds. Why aren't you my two daughters?
You got two, huh? This is two.
I got a 3.5-year-old and one that's a month old. Yeah, and my wife is white, so I have those mixed race kids that are all the rage right now.
Yeah, all the rage.
Having a mixed race kid, I don't know if anybody there has a mixed race kid, but the way I would describe people's reaction to a mixed race kid, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, remember the first time you saw an iPad? And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. It's from the future. How do I get one of those? That's how people react to my daughter.
Yeah.
Well, oh my God, that's amazing. How do I get one of those? She's got your nose, but the skin is completely different. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, this is related to nothing about that, really, but I was watching the Mills Brothers the other day. And you know, the Mills Brothers is a great singing team from the 30s. And the Mills Brothers always looked Jewish to me. You know, and no one ever spoke about it or hinted anything about, you know, that they were part Jewish or something like that, or, you know, a Jewish parent or something. But I could swear to God, because they looked like a lot like my brothers. The Feldman Brothers physically resembled the Mills Brothers. And it's never, you know, in that day and age, you couldn't actually deal with how that might have been a possibility or if it was, because the Feldman Brothers cannot sing worth a damn. But so
did that affect your ability to enjoy the Mills Brothers because you were trying to crack the Jewish puzzle?
No, I just liked them, but, you know, it affected my feeling about my brothers because they couldn't sing. You know,
well, see, nobody really ever has that problem. That guy looks black to me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think that guy's black. I can't really tell. If only there was a way to tell who was black and who wasn't.
Right. Well, I mean, in those days, in the 30s, whatever, mixed race was not fashionable, but, you know, it was also there, you know.
It was there, yeah. It just hadn't, you know, like all fashion trends, it takes them a while.
First
time you see a pair of bell bottoms, you're like, that's weird. Then 6 months later, I got to have one.
Yeah.
That's what it's like with black people, with mixed race kids.
Yeah.
Now everybody wants a mixed race kid. So me and my wife are going into production.
Not a bad job.
Artisanal mixed race children coming soon.
If you can get it, it's not a bad job.
Yeah.
Totally Biased, is that no longer on?
No, yeah, that's what we like to call it. It's canceled. That was a TV show I had for about a year and a half. It's gone. But thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just like Totally Canceled is what you're saying.
Yes, let's make puns about my failures. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, well, listen, we can trade failures if you want. I think I got you beat on some of these. Did you enjoy that role? You're more of an introducer and a host and that sort of thing. Is that, or are you more comfortable with doing stand-up?
No, I love stand-up much more. It's a much more intimate experience. I mean, I was happy that we did Totally Biased. We tried to really get a lot of progressive and liberal issues out there and using comedy, and we did it for about a year and a half, and then they moved us to the FXX network, which many people at that point didn't have, and now it's basically the home of Simpsons reruns. Good to be out there. But because I'm a black dude and I had a canceled TV show, now I get to be one of those African-American folk tales you hear about. You know, where the black people go, the man couldn't handle your truth bombs. I'm like, that's right. It had nothing to do with the fact we had bad ratings. It was the truth bombs.
Yeah. Now, you don't do a lot of heavily sexual stuff, though, in your stand-up. And I'm not saying that black comedians tend to do that, but they're quite...
You just tricked me. I'm not saying they tend to do that, but everybody's like, yeah, they tend to do
that. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you're watching some of the, black comedians. I mean, I'm always amazed. I love it because I watch them and I say, these are things I could never say as a white person to a white audience. These are areas we don't talk about even at home, you know, a lot of this stuff. But do you do any of that? You don't really take that approach.
No, I mean, I certainly am not. I don't censor myself. And there's times I talk about sex, but, you know. Yeah. I feel like that's not the area where I'm the best at, you know. Let me explain sex to you people. I'm in the injustice and racism area, not in the let's talk about sex area.
Well, there's a lot of injustice.
I'm having talked about my family. Sometimes that leads to talking about sex because, as I said, you know, having a mixed race kid is basically, you know, people say that when you're black and you have a child with a white lady that you're somehow letting down the black race. And I'm like, no. By having a child with a white lady, I've taken the possibility of another white person right out of the mix.
Yeah,
that's right. It's like Malcolm X, by any means necessary.
There you go. There's a crowd winner. Depends on the crowd, I suppose.
Yeah.
And now, are you from Berkeley originally, or?
No, I've lived in the Bay Area for about 15 years, but I was born in Palo Alto, but I moved around a lot as a kid.
Palo Alto. So, are you like a tech? Silicon Valley kid?
When I was born in Palo Alto, I didn't grow up there. I was only there for 2 months. When I was born in Palo Alto, the revolution my parents thought was coming was the Black Power Revolution. But little did they know it was the tech revolution.
Yeah.
They should have named me Apple instead of Kamau.
Yeah. Then because I pronounce that'd be a little easier. All right, so that's cool. And now the title of the tour is Oh Everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, because when people ask me what's wrong, I just go, oh, everything.
Yeah.
Because when you watch the news and you get, you know, when the news tells you what you need to be afraid of, what's going on in the world, and it's hard to focus on one problem. So I just like to sort of go, oh, everything. It's just easier.
Yeah. Is this extemporaneous, a lot of this stuff? I mean, you write your material, I presume. But do you stick to it, and do you extemporize from that?
I mean, yeah, like I said, I will actually do my due diligence when I go into a new town and try to, like, turn on the local news and pick up a newspaper and Google things about that town that I find interesting. And then the first few minutes of my show, I'll be talking about what I think about the town. So I like to – that's the thing I like about stand-up. It's a real intimate connection where you get to see people in the face and see how they respond to jokes and then take it from there. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of improv, because a lot of my jokes do tend to make people go. Sometimes they get upset or start to question, and then I respond to that. And at the end, I try to make sure we all hug.
Yeah, is there a hug in at the end?
There's a hug. Yeah, we hug it out at the end. Which is the way all conversations should end. It would be a much better world if at the end you're just like, let's hug it out.
I should start with hugs, then you wouldn't have the conversation, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm, sexy.
A lot of situations. But, all right, like Ferguson, for example. How can you make how do you get a funny edge to that or a funny take?
This is such a funny thing to talk about over the phone to a studio audience I can't see.
Yeah, yeah. They're all smiling. They're very.
I'd be like, yeah, I'd Yeah, I feel like the degree of difficulty on this is so high.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Can we start with something less?
No, I mean, it's. I mean, I'll, Ferguson, I'll tell you what my thoughts about it,
yeah.
And then people out there will choose how they respond to it.
Sure.
Like, I was, you know, hoping that Barack Obama would give a big speech because, you know, that's the I ordered a black president for situations just like that.
You know,
when black people ordered up a black president, we're like, that's what we need a black president for. And then it took him 4 days to respond after Ferguson sort of was in flames and the cops ran out in the streets. And my friends were like, are you happy he's going to say something now? I was like, no, not unless he says it's standing on a pile of burning cop cars.
Yeah.
With his shirt off and his tie around his head.
That
screaming,
could,
regulators, time to ride up.
That could happen at this point. You may be at that point now.
I hope so. I hope the last year is just he grows his afro out and wears shades to every press conference. That's my hope. But.
Yeah. You know, in this last election, this is off the topic here again, but Scott Walker was saying that President Obama came to Milwaukee where he had 99% of the vote. And this is a truthometer thing. They had this truthometer, and Scott Walker said he came to Milwaukee where he had 99% of the vote, and he could not even increase that this time around, which means he would have had to get 100% of the vote. He would have had everybody, you know, even people who didn't know who they were voting for or didn't know what they couldn't see the page, you know, the ballots. And the truthometer in the Milwaukee Sentinel, this was, it went off 100%, absolutely true. But it was nonsensical. It made no sense at all. He couldn't up it from 99% by making his appearance there.
Yeah. Now, did he have 99% of the Milwaukee vote? That seems high even in the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a lie, actually. It might have started with a lie.
Yeah. Barack Obama doesn't even have 99% of the black vote. If he doesn't have that, I can't believe he has 99% of the Milwaukee vote.
Yeah. I know what you mean. But that sort of thing is just the way, you know, the truthometers. Have you seen those in politics? They have them in your...
I've seen those, yeah. And you guys seem to have a love-hate relationship with Scott Walker out there.
Yes. See, now there's one of my issues where I'm looking at them and seeing what I can say and what I can't say. So
it seems like maybe it's an abusive relationship. Maybe the citizens of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, need to have some sort of, like, mediation.
Yeah, are you willing to do it? You're going to be in here. You can do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm there to do.
Yeah.
To mediate the discussion.
Yeah.
Stop hurting each other.
Yeah. That would be a good thing. When you play around the country. Now, you're playing in Schenck Hall, which is a pretty big club in Milwaukee, and down here, a smaller club. Are you doing some of the bigger venues, too? You playing the big venues as well?
No, I'm trying to keep it as small and intimate as possible, you know. When your TV show gets canceled, your ambitions change. So, I really like the intimate experience of small spaces because you can really see everybody and connect with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is the people forget how good live performance is. They think that if they watch it on their computer, that it's the same. And so I really work hard within these small venues to let people know that we're all in the room together. It's not TV. You can't pause me or TiVo me or watch me later. This is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a black guy might walk off the stage and touch you in the middle of the show. You know, it's in 3D.
Yeah. When playing like mostly black audiences, do they like what your take on things, or do they have a different reaction to it? Is it hard for them to deal with some of these issues in the way you do?
The answer is yes. I mean, they like it, and they also have different reactions. I mean, it just depends on where I'm at and who I'm at. It's a weird thing. There's like all kinds of black people out there. And so some of them will like what I'm saying and some of them won't. And I think that's the fun for me is that I'm just saying a lot of the stuff is just my opinion. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's the way to be. I mean, I believe it's right, but it's just my opinion. And that's why it's good to, you know, the problem with this country is we don't have a lot of awkward discussions about the painful things until they get angry. So I like to have those awkward discussions in comedy.
Gee, that's what I've been doing all these years, too, without even putting a name to it. I've been having awkward, awkward discussions in comedy.
Yes, me and you, making things awkward.
That's it. Yeah.
I can tell from that awkward laugh in the audience, this has been awkward.
Yeah. Oh, everything.
Oh, everything, indeed, sir.
Yeah. Let me
through Matthew Broderick. I think we've covered it all right now.
Yeah. Besides everything being wrong or whatever, everything is happening, do you see some light at the end of the tunnel that we're in, and on race matters and other things.
Well, Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think I would be doing this if I wasn't somehow optimistic, and I have two daughters, and so I have hope for the future.
Yeah.
I just feel like we have to sort of fight in the present to get to the better future, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I certainly am optimistic about things. I mean, nobody could have said, when Barack Obama first took office, if somebody had told you that 33 states would have marriage equality, that would have sounded insane, and yet here we are now, you know, so there's a lot of stuff to look towards, but I think if we get caught up in celebrating everything all the time, we'll miss all the bad things that are happening. So we have to pay attention.
Yeah. And as far as Barack Obama, is your feeling that he should take off the shirt and get on top of the police car, the burning police car? Or?
Yeah, I mean, if not for justice, just for my comedy act, you know.
that would be helpful.
Just have some easy jokes to write.
Yeah.
But no, I think I personally would like to see. I mean, like a lot of people, we would like to see a more engaged, a more full-throated, a more a more 1970s Shaft era Barack Obama presidency. You know?
Yeah, Shaft.
That's just, I think that sometimes it feels like he's a little bit too managed, and I think he's clearly nervous about the race issue, because when he got into office and he said that the cop acted stupidly, Fox News told him to come into their office and he listened to them, and so he doesn't like to talk about race issues anymore. I mean, he really steps around them very lightly, and I don't think it's the time to step around things lightly like that. So, that's why I said I hope he grows out his afro, puts on shades, wears light brown leather jackets for the last year of his presidency, lets Michelle Obama do all the press conferences, even that would be a big deal.
Yeah. Have you seen that? I'm sure you have the SNL thing where they have a round table, a black TV show. They go around, they talk about all the things that, it's kind of the shortcomings of the Obama administration and the man personally. And they go around and they say, would you change your vote for him? And they all say, no, they all say,
yeah.
No, nothing has changed in their feelings about him. So
I totally plan on campaigning for him to be president a third time. I'm totally working on that.
And the library. Maybe get involved in the library.
Yeah.
That's coming up, too. Maybe we'll put it out there by you in Palo Alto.
There we go.
Yeah. Do you get back there much in Palo Alto?
No. Mark Zuckerberg owns too much of it. It's hard to get back down there. You have to have your Google papers, your Facebook papers to go down there.
Yeah. That's good. So now are you driving into Wisconsin, or are you going to fly from St. Paul?
No, we're going to drive in. We're going to get in the car and fight the weather and get there hopefully in time for tonight's show.
Okay. It's going to be great. The high noon tonight here in Madison and tomorrow at Shank Hall in Milwaukee. Thanks very much. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. Good. This was a good awkward conversation. I appreciate it.
It was very awkward, but I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Me too.
Most of mine are, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, look for him in a town near you.